Hey there, Bernie Miklos with you, back for another edition of the Bernie Miklos Show here on YouTube. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday. Got a lot of things on my mind as always. You know, I kind of sit around at night, can't get to sleep. And I'm one of these people that always just thinks about stuff. And I talk to myself. When I say I talk to myself, it's I don't speak out loud, but I exchange thoughts inside my big fat head here. So one of the things I was thinking about last night, or maybe two nights ago, I was thinking about, well, you know, there's really some people, some individuals on the Cardinals, whether it be, you know, pitcher, hitter, whatever, prospects, you know, that I kind of root for. And by the way, you know, I can root for Cardinals. I can root for home teams. That doesn't make me a homer, because if anybody actually pays attention to my work all these years, I mean, I don't hesitate to say or write what needs to be said or written. You know, it's one thing, it's totally fine to like a player and want to see him do well. In fact, I like when all the home teams, the local teams do well, because everybody's in a good mood and there's actually more to write about. And actually our work on any platform, when a local team is hot and winning and doing really well, the interest level in that team rises up, and that's good for business. But if I got to bring the hammer, I bring the hammer, you know, but I reserve my right as someone who loves sports to, you know, kind of really, really back certain players, you know, where I feel like, yeah, I really want this guy to have a hell of a year, that kind of thing. And the Cardinals have, you know, a few, well, I don't even know how to put a number. They have guys like that, right? Of course they do. But if I was going to make a list of like Cardinals I was rooting for, or it would make me happy to see them have a great season, at the top of my list would be Wilson Contreras, and I am more than happy to explain why. Also, I'm going to try something different starting today. I will be throwing in some quick hit notes, some Bernie bits, if you will, those familiar with that column that I used to do at the Post-Dispatch. I'll throw in some Bernie bits near the end of this video. Perhaps do shorter videos at the top and then throw some other things in at the bottom just to keep things mixed, right? So let's start with Contreras. As I said, you know, the dude wanted to be a Cardinal. I'll never forget that. You know, it wasn't like the Cardinals are the only team that wanted him in the offseason before 2023. I mean, the Houston Astros were hot to try to sign him, but Contreras really wanted to be a Cardinal. He looked up to Yadier Molina. He understood the great baseball environment in St. Louis, and he really wanted to sign here. And first of all, it was a gutsy decision because, you know, it ain't easy being the catcher who succeeded the retired Yadier Molina. I mean, that is such an incredible standard set by Yadi. The next guy would, no matter how well he did or whatever, you know, it wouldn't be enough for some people. And I get that, man. That's sports. That's sports. Heck, when I was a young dude, a real young dude growing up, and I'm going to give you an obscure name here. When John Unitas reached the end of his trail with the Baltimore Colts, one of the great quarterbacks ever, but he was really old and, you know, he wasn't moving very well. And the Colts made a tough decision to move on from him. And Johnny U didn't think he was done, and so he asked for a trade. They traded him to the San Diego Chargers, and poor Johnny U, man, it was tough to watch. You can probably find it on YouTube. It was tough to watch, and he only lasted a few games, and then Dan Fouts, a young quarterback named Dan Fouts, became the starting quarterback. And Johnny U actually helped Dan Fouts a lot that season, even though John Unitas wasn't playing after a certain amount of games. So why am I bringing this up? Well, it's funny because, you know, in my extended Polish family, proud Baltimore Polish people from, you know, in East Baltimore, I came from a huge colony, right? You know, we were original season ticket holders for the Baltimore Colts. Like a bunch of my relatives, my uncles, my grandfather, my, you know, cousins, they teamed up and bought, I don't know how many, like 35, 40 season tickets. It was part of a season ticket drive to get the Colts to move here from Dallas way back when. I'm talking about 1953. So they sold enough tickets to do that. And we had about three rows of seats. at the old Memorial Stadium from the time the Colts moved there until the time they left to go to Indianapolis. And so we all knew that John Unitas was done, right? He was just done. I mean, at some point, they're all done, right? But it didn't matter. You know, as soon as some guy named Marty Domrays, look him up, Marty Domrays took over at quarterback for Johnny U, I mean, it sounds awful, but we just like hated the guy. He didn't do anything wrong, but he had to be the next guy following the legend, the icon, John Unitas, right? It's a thankless type of thing to do. Marty Domrays is just trying to establish himself as a quarterback. There was no reason to hate him. I don't think the young Bernie hated him. I think I was actually taken aback by how much some of my old uncles hated him because he wasn't Unitas. And so it was a pretty gutsy thing, if you ask me. Yeah, the money was good. The money was very, very good. But it was a good offer. But it was still a pretty gutsy thing for Contreras to say, yeah, I want to be the catcher in St. Louis that follows Yadier Molina. Whoa, okay. But props to him, man. He wanted to be a Cardinal. He turned down the Astros overtures after the 2022 season. And he still wants to be a Cardinal, even though he was treated horribly by his own sorry, no-account pitchers, as well as his manager, in literally his second month as a Cardinal back in 2023. Pardon my choice of words here, but because they're not gracious or graceful, but that initial Contreras episode, the way he was treated, literally they pulled the plug on him at catcher like on May 5th. It just revealed how dysfunctional and dumb this organization had become, right? Contreras isn't Yadier Molina. He isn't the catcher that Yadi was. We don't like this. You know, all the pitchers whining. And again, think of the stupidity here, because Ollie Marmol, and who recruited him along with John Mozeliak, you know, and John Mozeliak signed off on this plan to like dump him, you know, and move him from behind the plate because his baby whiner pitchers were complaining because they couldn't take responsibility for their own failures. So Marmol and Mozeliak rewarded the weakest Cardinals, the people that are, in terms of character, competitive character and being a good teammate, they rewarded the weakest of the Cardinals by throwing this proud man off to the side. And again, think of the stupidity here. And it's one of the reasons why I really, really want Contreras to have a great career here in St. Louis. I mean, I can understand that some pitchers were shameless diaper babies in this instance, because of course these diaper babies knew really, really well it was easy to blame the new catcher instead of taking responsibility and accountability for their own lousy pitching. And it's funny, and I know I'm living in the past here, but I feel like I really want to make this point and make it strongly. You know, all this talk about Contreras being a bad catcher, and believe me, I ain't saying he was a good catcher. But some of the problems were just overstated, because you kept hearing this stuff. Well, the pitchers, like, yeah, they'd rather throw to Kisner. You know, they'd rather throw to Kisner. Okay. In 2023, Wilson's first year here, Jordan Montgomery was the Cardinals' best starting pitcher in 2023 until he got dealt to Texas at the trade deadline. Sorry. And when Monty started a game that year, that was caught by Wilson Contreras, his ERA was 2.74. What do you know? Montgomery had no complaints about Contreras whatsoever. He was fine with it. He pitched well with Contreras. But let's look at the other side of this, and then I'll leave it alone, right? I'll leave it alone in a couple minutes. At the time that Contreras was benched, it was May 5th, after the game on May 5th. In 2023, he's a Cardinal for about a month and a week, right? In the regular season. Let's see. Miles Michaelis had a 5.79 ERA. Jack Flaherty had a 6.29 ERA. And Steven Matz had a 6.39 ERA. Oh, but it was the catcher's fault. Hey, it's his fault. It's not the fact that we stink. It's that guy's fault. You brought him in here. I mean, I still can't get over that, how brazen this was. And of course, Marmol made it worse by overreacting and giving these babies a binky. And by the way, I don't know that Steven Matz was complaining about anything, but Marmol, you know, he had to give the babies a binky to keep them quiet, and he had no problem whatsoever undercutting Contreras. It was shameful. It really was. Someone with the Cardinals, it got so bad, someone with the Cardinals actually leaked a very fishy story about how Contreras was calling pitches that didn't exist. And I'm thinking, where the heck did that come from? Because Flaherty got bombed out in some start early in the season, and that was classic Jack, because after the game, he's talking about, well, you know, we're doing stuff like we're calling pitches that don't exist, and all, you know, and on and on and on. That was Jack covering his backside, flat out just covering his backside. And let's blame the new guy, because, hey, everyone loves Yachty. So if we blame the new guy, yeah, the fans will understand. See, this kind of backstab of Contreras would never happen in a well-run operation that has a winning culture. The Cardinals, unfortunately, sadly, have been the opposite of that in recent times. And think about what this says about Mozeliak and Marmol not knowing who Contreras was as a catcher. Didn't know, obviously, what his limitations were defensively. They knew he had a strong arm. He still does. But, you know, I think there were some criticisms of Contreras in Chicago for his, you know, not even so much his pitch selection, because John Lester defended him on that, but maybe some of his pitch framing, which was really becoming an important trait with a catcher. There were some mild, low-level grumblings about Contreras. And listen, if anybody paid attention, they would know that he never was an above-average catcher. He was an average catcher, way above average throwing arm, but an average catcher, slightly below average and everything else. But that's really not the point. The point is, as a Cub, Contreras played nearly 100 games against the Cardinals, nearly 100 games against the Cardinals, their arch rival. And it never dawned on Mo or Marmol that he wasn't going to be a match for one of the all-time great defensive catchers like Yadier Molina. Wow. Oh, he's not Molina. Well, we didn't know that. Well, I guess we had to find that out. I mean, I'm being dramatic on purpose, all right? But I'm like, you know, you just want to it's just unbelievable. So they threw him under the bus. You know, and it was that point I decided, no matter what, I'm going to like Wilson Contreras, and I'm going to welcome a lot. You know why? Like him a lot. You know why? He didn't say a thing. He didn't lash out. He didn't portray himself as a victim. He just went back to work. He shook it off and said, hey, I want to be a good teammate to these guys. And, you know, whatever they want me to work on, I'm going to work on. He had just an exemplary attitude for a guy who had been so mistreated by a bunch of babies, really. And I admired his character. I truly did. And that's why I'm a Contreras backer. I've been covering the Cardinals full-time since 1989, and I have never seen a Cardinal player treated so shabbily. So I am sure that there's a pretty large majority of Cardinals fans who like him and appreciate him. I frankly don't understand the disdain that seems to be out there among a smaller percentage of Cardinals fans in terms of Contreras. And before you start hollering about, well, you know, you're not all fans dislike. I'm not saying all fans dislike them, okay? A majority of Cardinals fans respect him and like him. A small percentage don't. And I hear from these people a lot, but it's a small percentage. I don't care if it's small percentage or not. It doesn't make any sense. So Contreras wanted to be a Cardinal in his first decision. He had another decision, which was this past offseason. He could have told Mozeliak, hey, I'll waive my no-trade clause, because he could have just gotten out of here. He could have said, man, I'll never forget the way these people treated me when I first got here. You know, that was really hard. That was so unfair. So, yeah. If you can make a trade up, yeah. Let's go. I'll go, you know. But he didn't want that. It was the exact opposite. He told Mozeliak, no. He wants to stay and stick it out and help these younger players through their transition. I think Contreras wants to be a team leader. I really do. Now, the Cardinals aren't going to be quite as young as it appeared it was, would be the case at that time, because we all know why. No need to rehash that. So for the second time in 3 years, Wilson Contreras made a decision. I don't want to be an Astro. No, I don't want to be traded now. I want to be a Cardinal. I want to stick it out with you. I don't run away from tough times. Why would anyone not admire a man like this? I mean, seriously, what the heck is wrong with someone who would dislike this guy based on the way he has conducted himself? Oh, and he's a pretty damn good hitter, which we'll get into as well. Despite whatever the disgruntled may say, even if it's a small faction, the disgruntled can say whatever they want. I don't care. The Cardinals are very fortunate to have Contreras, especially now where they sort of need someone who could personify intensity, energy, enthusiasm, the love of the game. Someone who is, now that he's 33, you know, would love to be more of an active leader, because it's kind of his turn or it's his time. And then you have his offensive performance in his two seasons as a Cardinal among hitters that have at least 850 plate appearances, right-handed hitters, 850 plate appearance minimum over the last two seasons. He's been among the very best right-handed batters in the National League. Not an opinion, it is a fact. He's been 33% above league average offensively in the FanGraphs version of OPS Plus. He ranks fourth among right-handed hitters in the National League since the start of 2023. Again, 33% above average. He ranks fourth over the last 2 years among right-handed hitters. I'm repeating myself. Among right-handed hitters with at least 850 plate appearances in the National League last 2 years, he was also, Wilson Contreras was third in on-base percentage, fifth in OPS, fifth in walk rate, 10th in slugging. Among the Cardinals right-handed hitters over the past two seasons, Contreras was a team leading 46% above league average against left-handed pitchers, and the Cardinals have been awful against left-handed pitchers. He was 46% above average against them. And okay, well, what about righty versus righty? The Cardinals, you know, it's not easy for some Cardinals to have those same side, meaning right-handed hitter versus right-handed pitcher, is a little tougher for them. But among right-handed Cardinals hitters that had at least 350 plate appearances against right-handed pitchers the last 2 years, Contreras was also the best on the team at that. His rate of offense was around 29-30% above league average. And he was second in batting average among Cardinals against right-handed pitching. And he was first in on-base percentage, first in slugging, first in OPS. You know, if I may ask, and I know I'm, you know, going to come across as exasperated, what the heck is the problem with that? I fail to see a negative there. This is an offensively challenged team. It is an offensively mediocre team. And you have one guy who stands out against left-handed pitchers, right-handed pitchers, and he puts up numbers. He just puts up good numbers. But again, what's the problem? Pardon me for being exasperated. Now I'm being a whiner. Okay. So I may ask again, what, I don't understand what the complaint is, if there is any legitimate complaint at all. Listen, I don't have a problem who, for whatever reason, you know, people who don't like Contreras personally. We all have guys like that. It's like, well, I know he's really good, but it's just not my thing, right? If you don't like him personally, fine. And I really mean that. If you don't like him personally, it's like, okay, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe he was a Cub. I don't know. I'm just not crazy about the guy. That's fine. You're not obligated to like anyone. But the only thing I would add to that is, don't be a phony and pretend that your dislike of Wilson Contreras is based on some kind of baseball reason. Just be honest about it. And then that's cool, right? But I just can't, these people that come along thinking this is a baseball discussion rather than just a personal feeling, I ain't got no time for that. The only problem over the last 2 years as Wilson Contreras in a Cardinal uniform is he didn't get enough at bats. Catchers get beat up. Nothing new. And if you want to say, well, you know, Molina got hurt, but he always played through the injuries. Yeah. Molina's one of those kind of one of a kind, you know, once in a lifetime guys. So once again, it's a little unfair to kind of hold any catcher to that standard. You know, sometimes I don't know how, you know, Yadier or Molina did it, but he did it. But that doesn't mean that every single catcher that comes along has got to be as incredibly durable as Yadier or Molina. He was, to use the vernacular, he was like a freak in that regard. He was a unicorn, right? But catchers who aren't Molina, they get more days off during the season. They're more vulnerable to injuries behind the plate. Last summer, Contreras also got struck on the hand by a pitch at Minnesota. In fact, it's Pablo Lopez who will open the season for the Twins at Busch Stadium on March 27th. But anyway, that getting struck by on the hand by that pitch was, it knocked Contreras out for the remainder of the season. And I remember at that time, people were, you know, yapping about, well, you know, he sets up too close to the plate. Why is he lining up so close to the plate? You know, you're going to get hit. Basically saying he's stupid. I mean, that's the only way I could interpret it, right? Well, he did it for two reasons. Number one, if a pitcher tries to pitch inside and he doesn't get it there and he leaves the ball over the plate, Contreras has got the advantage. And by standing close to home plate as much as he is permitted to do in the batter's box, Contreras is in position to crush outside corner pitches, strikes, but also to get those pitches that are just off the plate, those shadow pitches on the outside corner that could go either way, or maybe just a little off the plate anyway, because you see him hit to the opposite field. So why does he set up inside? Well, so he can cover the middle of the plate better if a pitcher can't get it in on him, and he can has much easier access to connecting and damaging pitches on the outside. And, you know, once again, I'm sorry to be that guy, but I do have some numbers to back that up. As a Cardinal, this is two seasons. Contreras has a .333 average and a .652 slugging percentage and a 53% hard hit rate on those pitches on the outside corner or just off the outside edge of the plate. And that's why he stands so close to the plate. It makes sense to me. But before you say, well, but he got his hand broken last year doing that. Okay. Two things. All dudes who stand close to the plate, and it's pretty intimidating for pitchers, they're going to get hit by some pitches. That's inevitable. It's a choice they make. But to me, it's a sensible trade-off. You know why I say it's a sensible trade-off? Pretty simple. Contreras has been in the big league since 2016, and what happened last year was the only time he ever missed any time after getting hit by a pitch. He had never missed any time at all. Oh, I mean, maybe the odd game here or there, but he never went on the injured list except for last season, anything to do with a hand injury. He had wrist tendonitis with the Cubs one year, had nothing to do with getting hit by a pitch. So now he's supposed to back off the plate and give pitchers the outside zones and let pitchers get inside on him because he got hit on the hand with one pitch that put him out of action for a while. The only time it's ever happened to him in the big leagues. Oh, he's supposed to change his hitting style. Okay, you say so. Last season, Contreras ranked in the top 19% of major league hitters in hard hit rate, top 24% in barrel rate, top 14% in average exit velocity, according to StatCast. In each of the last two seasons, Contreras ranked among the top 20% of all big league hitters in batting run value. That's just a snapshot, a quick look. Okay, what's a guy's full value as a hitter? He was in the top 20% in 23, and then he was in the top 20% in 2024. I don't know about you, but I kind of think it's a good idea when you have a top 20% major league hitter in your lineup, is you want to put him in that lineup as much as you can, because you're going to benefit from the more at-bats he gets, the more he'll help your team score runs. That's a positive thing, right? Yeah, it sure is. So this is why the Cardinals made the right call in moving Contreras to first base, because he will be in the lineup more often because of it. I'm not quite sure why this is so difficult for some folks to fathom and understand. I think it's a pretty easy concept. Oh, this is your guy who's your best hitter. Oh, but the last two seasons, he averaged only 425 plate appearances because he was getting beat up, because he was a catcher and he was getting beat up and he got hit on the hand by a pitch standing close to the plate, which he's done his whole career. One time he's going on the IL after getting hit by a pitch. So he's one of the best right-handed hitters in Major League Baseball. That, again, that's a fact. It is not an opinion. And Contreras, the more he plays, the more at-bats he has, the more he'll be able to stimulate this team's draggy offense. Think about him now, instead of 425 plate appearances, let's think about 525, maybe 550. This is a good thing. And as an added bonus, by moving to first base, Contreras creates more at-bats for the young catcher, Ivan Herrera. In limited action last season, a little over 250 plate appearances, Herrera hit 301, best among the Cardinals. Well, I think 301, but either maybe Mason Wynn was, until he faded a little bit late in the season. But anyway, Herrera hit 301. He had an 800 OPS, and he was second to all the Cardinals with an offensive rating that was 27% above the league average. So Contreras to first, Herrera at catcher, it means your two best hitters last season. Your two best hitters last season will get more at-bats by this movement. Once again, can somebody tell me why this is a bad thing? Nothing will ever leave me speechless, but that's almost close. Contreras playing first base means more of Contreras with a bat in his hands, and that's his value, always has been his value. Contreras at first base means 400 or more plate appearances for Herrera in 2025 instead of the 250 or so he had last season. And of course, a lot of that depends on Ali Marmol's decision on how to distribute playing time at catcher. We'll be keeping an eye on that one. But they have it set up to where they'll have their two best hitters from 2024 in the lineup more frequently and together in 2025. Not one or the other, but together. So after all the negativity over the past offseason, and I've been a part of the negativity, you know, I do like to enjoy, and I always got to remind myself, man, I love watching baseball, and I really like to enjoy players, any player, but Cardinals players who are very good at what they do, and guys who care, and guys who give a damn, and guys who really want to help their team. And they play with energy and passion and intensity, and they want to be a leader. They want their teammates to know, hey, I'm there for you. Who the heck wouldn't like a guy like that on any team if you're a fan of that team? So it makes it very, very easy for me to be a member of Team Contreras, which is why I wanted to stick up and kind of remind some folks, a lot of folks, a number of folks, I don't know how many, what makes him, in my opinion, a pretty valuable guy on the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, for a few Bernie bits. Number one, this one's cynical. So if you don't like me being jaded, don't listen to this one. I'll hold up two when I get to the second point, then you can unmute me. Number one, Victor Scott hit a home run in Wednesday's exhibition game. He's now hitting 359. He's got a 457 on base percentage. He's got a 692 slugging percentage this spring. He's drawn seven walks. In fact, he's got just about as many walks as he does strikeouts. He's has swiped five bases. He's got three homers, six or seven extra base hits, and a team-leading 27 total bases. Here comes the cynical part. But I can imagine Ali Marmol being in the office with the coaches after the game saying something like, well, yeah, I know Vic hit a home run today. And, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, you know, I love seeing him do well. But, you know, guys, we even see minor leaguers hit home runs in spring training. It's not that big of a deal. He went 0-for-3 in all his other at-bats after that home run, and he struck out once. And that really concerns me. We should be concerned about that. I'm kidding about this, by the way, but maybe not as much. I'm not kidding. Maybe as much as I think. Somebody likes Michael Ciani a lot. Number two. How important is Nolan Gorman to in terms of the part? Pardon me. Let me. I'm trying to race through it here now because I'm getting towards the end. How important is it for Nolan Gorman to have a good season for the 2025 Cardinals? These are kind of some fun stats, but they reveal a little bit, I think. Gorman was promoted to the big leagues in May of 2022. All right, since then, good times and bad. When he hits at least one home run in a game, the Cardinals have a 750 winning percentage. When he doesn't hit a home run in a game, the Cardinals have a 455 winning percentage in those games. When Gorman homers and he doesn't strike out more than once in a game, the Cardinals are 26-10. When Gorman doesn't homer and he strikes out at least twice in a game, the Cardinals have a 412 winning percentage. So just rewind that a little bit. You can absorb those numbers. He can be a huge difference maker depending on how his 2025 season goes. Number three, Bernie Bitt. There isn't much suspense going on Jupiter. Cardinals down there trying to figure out a way to deny. I'm going to shut up about Victor Scott. Anyway, there isn't much suspense going on in Jupiter. The roster decisions are almost made, and there's only down to a couple of them. But for whatever it's worth, it looks like Jose Fermin is making a run to keep his job as the backup shortstop utility man. He even played a little outfield. And whether we pay much attention to spring trainings or not, Fermin has been coming on strong. He's been outperforming Jose Barrero, who seemingly had a big lead in the competition because he can play center field. But Barrero's been kind of fading, and Fermin has been really heated up and playing really hard, and he's looking good. I don't know what their final decision will be, but if you're talking about a spring training competition, Fermin is coming on. That's all I have for you today, and I appreciate you for supporting my work, and we'll be back tomorrow with a Mizzou basketball preview and some other goodies tomorrow on the Bernie Miklas Show. Thank you.